Tape recorded message number TL-470. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel. Our study begins with the second chapter. The record of the time when David became king over Judah. It will be well to keep in mind that Judah was the royal tribe, the imperial tribe. And to be king of Judah was quite an honor. Although this was not what God had promised to David, but at least it's a sort of an earnest of his portion. The rest he will receive later. So we read in the first verse of the second chapter, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. Now that was a good thing to do, for he is actually starting his life as king of Judah by seeking counsel from God. Of course, he had means available to him that's not available to us. He had direct contact with God in all things. He even had the Urim and the Thummim. And as we know, there was the priest there that wore the ephod, and he had ways of getting exact information from God that we do not have. That is because that he was to be the king, and God was going to be responsible for this king. But he made inquiry of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? What shall I do? What is my course now?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." Of course, there's many references to Hebron in the Old Testament up to this point. We could go back to refer to each one, but that would only cloud the historical record. And I doubt if there's any real value in us doing that in a study such as this. But he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Of course, these men would be very favorable to him. He was really one of their own, and they knew what he had done for Israel in the past, and so they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. They took care of this. So David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, that I also may requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore let your hands be strengthened, and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead. Also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." Now this was his invitation for the men of Jabesh-Gilead to come and to participate in the goodness, the comforts of his own reign over Judah. So he's given them this opportunity. But Abner, the son of Ner. Now this Abner, we have to say of him that indeed he was a peculiar fellow, to say the least. He had been captain of Saul's army. He took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Israel as distinguished from Judah. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And he reigned for 2 years, but the house of Judah all this time followed David. We're making a distinction right here between the house of Judah and that which is called Israel. And the time that David was king in Hebron, or the house of Judah, was 7 years and 6 months. So his reign has already been quite long when we come to this point. Now we're told that Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, they went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. They really make the first move in this warfare, this civil strife that is going to follow. And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out, and they met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. This man, Joab, was the nephew of one of David's wives, and David is sort of tied up to him, shall we say, by marriage, but he was always an embarrassment to David. Whatever happened, it was always an embarrassment to David. So we read that these two men are seated here, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and they're sat down, one on the one side of the pool and the other at the other side of the pool. Now Abner said to Joab, "Yet let the young men now arise and play before us." This is Abner's suggestion, notice, to Joab. He says, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side, so they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazurim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day that started the whole thing. And Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were 3 sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner. And in going he turned not to the right hand, or the left hand, from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand to thy left, and they lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said unto Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the 5th rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there, and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, they stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gia on the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, and became one troop, and stood on the top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou had spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up every one from following his brother." It's civil war, you see. And, of course, Abner would like to see it come to an end. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still, and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain, and passed over Jordan. They went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, And when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Asahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 360 men died. Well, they took up Asahel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at the break of day. Now in the third chapter, we're told there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. They were not always fighting, but this went on and on. It kept occurring and reoccurring. And the result was that David waxed stronger and stronger. The house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. And unto David were sons born in Hebron. His firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second was Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ithream, by Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. It came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. All the time he is becoming more powerful, and hoping maybe that somehow or other the kingdom might revert to him. So Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone in unto my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth for the words of Ishbosheth. And he said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show a kindness this day in the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren, to his friends, not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom, the house of Saul, to set up the house of David over Israel, and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba." And he could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Whose is the land?" saying also, "Make your league with me." A league is a covenant, a contract. "And behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, that thou shalt not see my face, except thou bring me Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife, Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent, and took her from her husband, even from Phalti, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return," and he returned. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines, and out of the hand of all their enemies.'" And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go, will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, that thou mayest reign over all that thy heart desireth." And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop. and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab said to the king, came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that you sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, to know all that you do. So when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside to the gate to speak with him quietly. He smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died, for the blood of Asahel his brother. And after, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom, I and my government, are guiltless before the Lord forever, in perpetuity, from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. He is taking this oath that he had nothing to do with it. This was not in his mind. He could have killed him, but he allowed him to go in peace. Then he says, Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people with him, Rent your clothes, and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the funeral train, called here the bier. He followed the funeral train. Verse 32, they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth? Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet David, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them. Says, Whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the son of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Remember that statement. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Wickedness can be cleansed. Iniquity can be forgiven. Sins can be blotted out. There is pardon available from God. But the doer of evil, who is unforgiven, unpardoned, not cleansed, the Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. This brings us to the fourth chapter. These are the days of civil war in the kingdom. These are the days of turmoil and strife. It's not at an end for David. So we read that when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble and all the Israelites were troubled. Abner was really the fighting man, not the king. And now their great skill leader in warfare is gone. So all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, and the children of Benjamin. For Beeroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and were sojourners there until this day, that is, the day that this was written. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up, and she fled. It came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. We have Ish-bosheth, but this is Mephibosheth. Now, remember him. He's an important character, and we should have the record of him rather clearly in our minds. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana, they went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ish-bosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither in the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat. And they smote him under the fifth rib, and Rechab and Baana his brother escaped. But when they came in the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ish-bosheth unto David to Hebron. They said to the king, Behold the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. And the Lord hath avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul, and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baana his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him in Ziklag and slew him, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. You remember that? We were just over it. How much more would wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon the bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? See, these men didn't think like David thought. They did not reason like David reasoned. They really just did not know a man with this type of mind, a forgiving man. This is the true character of David. So David commanded his young men, and they slew them, cut off their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. All right, with Ish-bosheth dead, that Abner had made king over Israel, the way is clear now for David to become king over all Israel. Judah, he's already king over Judah. Now he'll become king over all Israel, and the nation will be united once again in the 12 tribes. So we read in the 5th chapter. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David and to Hebron. And they spake, saying, Behold, we are bone, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in times past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said unto thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. To reign is to govern. This is very closely related to the word for king and kingdom. It's the verb form, really, and it states that which the king does. He began to govern. So he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. Zion later became a very definite part, what we might call a suburb, very important, of the Jerusalem, same as the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter, the watercourse, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind, that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Millo and inward. So David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David, and cedar trees and carpenters. Now remember, here is Hiram, who was king of Tyre. He lived in a time when it was most certainly a fact that they that blessed Israel, they would be blessed. This is not true today, because the nations are joint bodies, and there is no reward in doing good by one nation more than in doing good by another. That's a hard fact for most people to receive, but we're in the dispensation, the grace of God, and grace can show no favorites. So if there is a nation organized in the land of Palestine that takes the name of the Israel, or that's what Israeli means, that takes the name of the Israel, that does not mean that they are the Israel to whom the promises were made. That does not mean that they're the Israel that's always spoken of in the Bible, either past or present or future. It simply means that a company of men, by force and every fleshly means at their disposal, have set up a nation there and trying to pass it off as the nation to which God promised the land of Israel. Now, I'm in sympathy with the Hebrew people trying to establish a homeland for beleaguered Jews everywhere, just as I would be happy to see those who are purged out of any nation finding a homeland. Ever so often we read in the papers, in fact quite often, of someone who has simply deflected, are defected, I should say, both deflected and defected from the nation Russia, and they look for a place in our own nation. I'm glad that our nation can give it to them, and I'm glad that Israel can find a place for those who were so sorely persecuted in Germany and even in Russia, but that does not mean that this is some great work of God. Or it does not mean that it fulfills the promises of the return and the restoration of Israel. This man Hiram, who was the king of Tyre, he was ever a lover of David. And he sent messengers to David, and he sent cedar trees, the giant cedars that grew in Lebanon. And they built David. And he sent carpenters, and he sent masons, and they built David a house. These were skilled men, and the best that he could obtain. And he sent them there to build David a house. And David perceived that the Lord, Jehovah, had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. So David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem, after he was come from Hebron, and there were yet sons and daughters born to David. Now we must not try to understand this in light of our practice today. Neither must we take everything that is mentioned in the Bible and say, well, we're told this in the Bible, and this is to be mentioned today. You know, Cain killed his brother over a difference in religion. First man to ever die over religion, but many have died since that time and are dying right at the present time just over religious differences. Differences which I understand and believe are at the root of all the trouble that's going on in Ireland. But here was the first man, Abel was the first man to ever die over religion. Well, that does not mean that because the Bible records that Cain killed Abel over religion that you're supposed to kill anyone with whom you might have a religious difference. It's not the way to settle differences. So, we read here that David took himself concubines, wives out of Jerusalem, after he was come from Hebron. And there were yet sons and daughters born to David. These be the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon. Ibar also, and Elishua, and Nephig, and Japhia, and Elishama, and Elada, and Eliphelet. Now, this is just a record of those that were born. We get another record in Chronicles, but in order to understand the story, the names of all of those who were the direct descendants of David through his wives and the concubines are recorded here. Now, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it, and he went down to the hold. The hole would be the safe place for him. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now the Philistines started this, but David inquired of the Lord, and that's good, for it seems that his first act of government over all of Israel was to inquire of the Lord. He said, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said, "You go up, for I will doubtless, that is, without doubt, deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters," be a great flood of water. Like when a dam is breached or broken, and the waters come forth. Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images, and David and his men burned them. These images were the representations of their gods, but David and his men burned these. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. When David inquired the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up. You're not to go up, but just fetch a compass behind them and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. Let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees," the wind blowing through, I suppose, that sound, "and you hear this sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so, and the Lord smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. This is the sixth chapter. We're getting into matters now of great importance and to the truth of the kingdom of Israel. David arose and went with all the people with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Now, one thing about it was that this was not the way that the ark was to be moved. God said that you shall put this upon the shoulders of the priest, and they shall put these staves through the rings, then the priest shall bear them on their shoulders, and that's the way the ark was to be carried. But I suppose some clever person in Israel said, "That's no way to do it. This jiggles the ark for these men to do it this way. It's hard on their shoulders, and It's quite a task to do it that way, and what we will do is make a new cart. Oh, an old one wouldn't do, even one that was used once. But we will make a new cart, and we will take oxen that have never pulled a yoke, and we will carry this up in fine style. But that wasn't the way that God was said, and to do it God's way was an act of faith, because God has spoken concerning this. Oh, I've always come upon those clever and even capable men who had ways of doing the Lord's work, and often it was just ways of getting a crowd. It wasn't a way of doing the Lord's work, just ways of getting a crowd, of getting more members and getting more money, and yet I have seen that just it wasn't the Lord's way of doing. You know, when it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of that which is preached to save souls, then I'm just going to go on preaching and teaching the Word of God, even though some might say this is foolishness, but I'm going on doing it because this is the way that God saves men. So they took this ark, its drivers. They brought it out, this is the fourth verse, of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel prayed before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, on harps, on psalteries, on timbrels, on cornets, and cymbals. When they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Well, if the priest had been carrying it, it would have been all right. But they got here to a rough spot, this threshing floor, and the ark began to tremble. And this man, he put out his hands and to study it. Uzzah, he put forth his hand to the ark of God. He took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. The seventh verse says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his terror, for his error. And he died by the ark of God. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now, he was afraid. We fear the Lord, but we're not afraid of him. We would be afraid of his wrath under certain conditions, but even in this day of grace, we have no reason to be afraid. But we do revere and we fear him. There's a difference between fearing and being afraid. One time someone said to me, I'm afraid you're wrong. I said, oh no, you're not afraid that I'm wrong. You fear that I'm wrong. And I did this to teach him the distinction between these two words, because it's important to know this. David was afraid of the Lord that day. He said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. David carried it into the house, but David carried it in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom, and he blessed all of his household. And it was told King David that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God and the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord, when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came in the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord, and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that was David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and to the men, to every one a cake, we would say a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today!" She is speaking ironically, she is speaking sarcastically. And she says, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father, and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight. And one of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, them shall I be had in honor." Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Well, that brings us to the end of the sixth chapter. We've traveled rather hurriedly through this. It is just strictly history. Many lessons to be learned from it, many things that we need to remember. Well, we come now to that glorious seventh chapter of the book of 2 Samuel, which we will take up in our next lesson. It has been my joy to teach you, but my time is up. Therefore, I bid you goodbye, and I pray that your lines may fall in pleasant places, and that God may richly bless you according to your needs.